Mr. President, I ask for the yeas and nays.
Yeas, nays. There's a sufficient second. Yeas, nays are ordered. Senator from Ohio.
Mr. President, I find it almost impossible to believe that we're actually standing on the floor of the United States Senate today engaged in a debate over whether or not George Bush won Ohio in the 2000 presidential election. Mr. President, clearly he did. And he did so by over 118,000 votes. Now, because I'm limited under the rules to 5 minutes, I will not have time to address all of the wild, incoherent, and completely unsubstantiated charges that have been made about the 2004 Ohio presidential election. What I think might be a better way for me to explain the absurdity of the suggestion that Ohio did not go for President Bush is to quote from numerous editorials that have been written in Ohio's newspapers. The Cleveland Plain Dealer, a newspaper that did not endorse either President Bush or John Kerry, said in an editorial this past Tuesday, addressing those in Ohio and those from out of state still contesting Ohio's results, and I quote, "The election horse is dead. You can stop beating it now. Not one ounce of political flesh remains on that carcass. Ohio has counted and recounted. President George W. Bush received 118,775 more votes than your man, Senator John Kerry." The senator had the good grace and sense to acknowledge the abundantly obvious, to go home and resume his life. The editorial continues, "You might consider emulating his excellent example, because what you are doing now, redoubling your effort in the face of a settled outcome, will only drive you further towards the political fringe. And that long grass already is tickling your knees." The 176 Democrats who sit on Ohio's 88 county election boards pondered their jurisdiction's results, accepted their subordinates' good work, and are turning their energies towards the future. Are they all dupes in some Machiavellian Republican scheme? Or do they simply have a firmer grasp of reality than that displayed by the two of you and a handful of unrelenting zealots still ranting in the January rain 8 weeks after the November election?" End of quote from that editorial. The headline for the Akron Beacon Journal's editorial from December 24th was, quote, "We wish John Kerry would have won Ohio. He didn't." And the piece goes on to say, "The allegations being thrown around are of the flimsiest nature. Not one shred of evidence has been presented to show that Ohio's strictly bipartisan system of running elections was manipulated." The Columbus Dispatch, in an editorial dated December 12th, said the following. "On Monday, the 20 Ohio members of the Electoral College will cast their votes to elect the next president of the United States. When those votes are added to those from electors in the other 49 states, George W. Bush's reelection will be official," end of quote. But Mr. President, that won't stop the conspiracy theorists who claim that Bush stole this election. They're small in number. These naysayers are loud and repetitious. So the truth bears repeating too. Bush won because more Ohioans voted for him than for John Kerry. Senator Kerry understands that George Bush legitimately won the election, which is why he conceded on November 3rd.
So here we see the Republicans praising John Kerry. Praising John Kerry because he conceded, because he rolled over.
Carried out successfully in a decentralized system involving 88 separate bipartisan county election boards. Mr. President, such a conspiracy would have to involve scores, if not hundreds, of Democratic election board members actively working against their own party.
Not true there, Mike DeWine. Not true at all. All it takes is a few technicians. We've got testimony that the triad workers came in to work on the machines between the time of November 2nd and when the recount started. Sworn testimony from a courageous elected official, a worker at the election office, who said he came in with extra parts in his jacket and worked on the machine. Coming up, we'll hear from Dick Durbin from Illinois, we'll hear from Barack Obama, and we'll hear from Stephanie Tubbs Jones, we'll hear from Jesse Jackson Jr., and some others. This is WZRD's coverage of congressional debate triggered by the rejection, the contention of the electoral votes from Ohio by Stephanie Tubbs Jones and Senator Barbara Boxer. Here's some Sones de Mexico, Ensemble Chicago. Let's check it out.
Recognition.
President.
Senator from Illinois.
Mr. President, let me say at the outset that this historic meeting in the United States Senate will end at some point in a vote. When the time comes to vote, I will vote to certify the vote from the state of Ohio. I do not have personal knowledge of what occurred in the election in Ohio, but I have spoken to those who were present who tell me that despite irregularities, which I will note, they do not rise to a level where you would challenge the outcome of the election in Ohio. In addition, the Democratic Party, the Kerry Edwards campaign, had more than 2,000 lawyers on the ground in Ohio on Election Day. That was replicated in many states across the nation. And I think what it tells us is that the nature of this debate and the challenges which we are raising do not go to the results of the election, but rather go to our electoral system. Some may criticize our colleague from California for bringing us here for this brief debate, but I thank her for doing it because it gives us an opportunity once again on a bipartisan basis to look at a challenge that we face, not just in the last election in one state, but in many states. What we're finding here is that because of different electoral practices in states across America, voters who wish to cast a vote for president or vice president can't approach the polls with certainty that their vote will be counted or that they can vote in a fair and convenient manner. There are litanies of examples that could be cited, but I say at the outset, I do not challenge the legitimacy of the 2004 election outcome. I don't believe there's evidence of widespread fraud. I believe Senator Kerry was correct in announcing his concession, but let us concede on a bipartisan basis we can and should do better. In the case of Reynolds versus Sims, the Supreme Court across the United States made it clear that we have a constitutional right to vote. Thank God. That decision, which was handed down in 1964, appears clear and unequivocal. But wait, 4 years ago, that same Supreme Court, in the case of Bush versus Gore, reached an opposite conclusion and stated, quote, the individual citizen has no federal constitutional right to vote for electors for the President of the United States. Clearly, a statement by the highest court in the land inconsistent with a decision reached 40 years ago. So where do we stand today? There's great uncertainty. Congressman Jesse Jackson of my home state of Illinois is proposing a constitutional amendment to make it clear and unequivocal that we have a constitutional right to vote in America. I am loath to jump on the bandwagon for constitutional amendments. I've seen some things done here that are not very proud moments, I might say, in the history of the Senate when it comes to offering constitutional amendments. But I will take this one seriously. When you look at the results of the election in Ohio and in many other states, serious questions are raised. These have been documented by the House Judiciary Committee Democratic staff. And Mr. President, at this point, I would ask unanimous consent that this report, Preserving Democracy, What Went Wrong in Ohio, be entered into the record at this point in the proceedings.
Is there an objection? Without objection, so ordered.
Thank you very much. Mr. President, as I said, the irregularities weren't confined to the state of Ohio. And let me give you an Illinois example. In DuPage County, Illinois, 26% of provisional ballots were counted. But in Chicago, a few miles away, 61% were counted, more than twice as many. That's largely because Chicago allows provisional ballots to be cast by a voter who turns up to be in the wrong precinct on election day. DuPage County does not. The county right next to Cook County. Now, how is the fundamental right of an American citizen to have his or her vote counted when it can vary dramatically, not just from state to state, from county to county?
Senator's
we need
time
to address
has expired.
This on a national basis.
Who seeks recognition?
Mr. President.
That's Senator Dick Durbin from Illinois. This is from last Thursday, the Senate debate, triggered by Congresswoman Stephanie Tubbs Jones and Senator Barbara Boxer's joint effort in contesting the electoral delegates from the state of Ohio. It was a long and concerted effort. It's the beginning of a movement, and myself and another wizard were in Ohio at the rally last Monday, a week ago, yesterday, and the energy there was big, was moving, it was of something new, it was of the beginning. I mean, these guys are fired up, and they're comparing it to the voter movement of Selma of the South. This from freepress.org, progressive Democrats lead historic voting rights protest as Congress ratifies flawed 2004 Electoral College Tally by Bob Fetrakis, Stephen Rosenfeld, and Harvey Wasserman. A handful of progressive Democrats in the House and a lone senator, Barbara Boxer of California, forced the Republican-dominated Congress to hear 2 hours of protest Thursday about how the 2004 presidential vote was replete with efforts to disenfranchise Democratic voters and suppress turnout in a torrent of tactics reminiscent of the Jim Crow era. Stephanie Tubbs Jones, Congresswoman from Ohio, said, quote, it is on behalf of those millions of Americans who believe in and value our democratic process and the right to vote that I put forth this objection today. If they're willing to stand at the polls for countless hours in the rain, as many did in Ohio, then I can surely stand up for them here in the halls of Congress. End of quote. Senator Barbara Boxer, who we just heard, we have spent our lives fighting for the things we believe in, always fighting to make our nation better. By invoking a law used twice since 1877, Representative Stephanie Tubbs Jones and Senator Barbara Boxer stopped Congress's ratification of the 2004 Electoral College vote by challenging the Ohio results. That forced Vice President Dick Cheney, the presiding officer, to order each chamber to debate the merits of the Ohio vote for 2 hours. A week earlier, Cheney refused to accept a notice of deposition in a lawsuit challenging the results of the 2004 Ohio presidential vote. Tubbs Jones again, "I raise this objection neither to put the nation in the turmoil of a proposed overturned election nor to provide cannon fodder or partisan demagoguery for my fellow Republican members of Congress. I raise this objection because I am convinced that we as a body must conduct a formal and legitimate debate about election irregularities. I raise this objection to debate the process and protect the integrity of the true will of the people." Ohio became the poster child for a broken election system. The Democratic congressmen and senators began reciting the same list of voting rights abuses first cataloged by the coalition of activists, attorneys, and independent journalists, the freepress.org team in Ohio. They began with rulings that disenfranchise voters before Election Day by Ohio's highly partisan Secretary of State, Kenneth Blackwell. The speeches and debate that followed in both chambers saw dozens of progressive Democrats led by Representative John Conyers Jr., the dean of the Congressional Black Caucus, fill a leadership void in the Democratic Party that has been lingering since John Kerry conceded the election on November 3rd. The day before the progressives led the Electoral College Challenge, Kerry wrote an email letter saying he would not join the Electoral College Challenge, but urging his supporters to work for voting rights and improved elections. Kerry's email said, "Tomorrow members of Congress will meet to certify the results of the 2004 presidential election. I will not be taking part in a formal protest of the Ohio electors. Despite widespread reports of irregularities, questionable practices by some election officials, and instances of lawful voters being denied the right to vote, our legal teams on the ground have found no evidence that would change the outcome of the election." But that does not mean we should abandon our commitment to addressing those problems that happened in Ohio. We must act today to make sure they never happen again, Kerry wrote. He wasn't even there for Thursday's Electoral College Challenge. He was in Iraq. Kerry's letter disappointed many progressive Democrats who felt he had bowed out of the race before investigating the true extent of the GOP's vote suppression efforts and vote counting frauds in Ohio and other states. It's the story of how a small band of activists, writes freepress.org, activists, lawyers, and independent journalists assembled a record, an analysis that propelled a new generation of progressive Democratic leaders to emerge and hold the Republican-dominated Congress captive for 2 hours with a voting rights debate that will be told in coming days. Coming up, more from that debate. We'll hear from maybe another senator or two, and then we'll hear from a few members from the House of Representatives. This is WZRD Chicago. You're listening to Sones de Mexico. Thanks for being with us today. Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton from New York State from the debate on Thursday contesting the legitimacy of the Ohio electors.
Recognition.
Mr. President.
Senator from New York.
Mr. President, this is obviously a difficult debate for many reasons, but I commend the senator from California for joining with members of the House, most particularly Congresswoman Stephanie Tubbs Jones, in raising the objection, because it does permit us to air some of these issues, something that I believe is necessary for the smooth functioning of our democracy and the integrity of the most precious right of any citizen, namely the right to vote. As we look at our election system, I think it's fair to say that there are many legitimate questions about its accuracy, about its integrity, and they're not confined to the state of Ohio. They are ones that have arisen throughout our country, and certainly because of the election of 2000, have been given high relief in the last 4 years. And then questions were raised additionally with respect to this election, which deepened the concern of many people about whether or not we can assure the continuity of our democratic process by ensuring the consent of the governed and the acceptance of the results of elections. You know, several weeks ago, we stood in great admiration as a nation behind the people of Ukraine as they took to the streets to demand that they be given the right to an election where every vote was counted. In a few weeks, we're going to see an election in Iraq. And we know that there are people literally dying in Iraq for the right to cast a free vote. I'm very proud of our country that we have stood with Ukrainians, Iraqis, and others around the world. But increasingly, I worry that if this body, this Congress, doesn't stand up on a bipartisan basis for the right to vote here at home, our moral authority will be weakened. I take that very seriously because freedom is our most precious value. And we have for 225 plus years worked to form a more perfect union. At first, not everybody was permitted to vote in our own country. But through constitutional changes, a civil war, and a civil rights movement, we expanded the franchise. This year, we will celebrate the anniversary of the Voting Rights Act. And it will be an opportunity for us to take a look at this landmark legislation and determine how we're going to move it into the 21st century so that it really stands for what it was intended to do when it was first passed. I would be standing here saying this no matter what the outcome of the election, because I still think the best rule in politics is the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And I worry whether it's a Democratic or Republican administration or a local, county, state, or federal election, that we are on a slippery slope as a nation. My colleague, Senator Boxer, and I, along with former Senator Bob Graham of Florida, introduced legislation last year to try to assure a verifiable paper audit. We didn't get anywhere with that. We didn't get a hearing before the Rules Committee, and I would hope that the distinguished chair of the Rules Committee would hold such a hearing this year. Because if we can go and buy a lottery ticket or go to a bank and get an ATM deposit, then we know we can use an electronic transfer mechanism that gives us a record. That is just one of the many issues that we can deal with technologically. You know, last year, last spring, India, the largest democracy, we're the oldest democracy, and so in that way we are real partners in this great enterprise of democracy. India had an election. 550 million or so people voted, from the dot-com billionaire to the poor, illiterate peasant. They all voted. And Mr. President, they voted on electronic voting machines. They voted in a way that guaranteed the safety and security and accuracy of their vote. They had uniform standards. They had a nonpartisan board that oversaw that election. And the result was shocking. They threw out the existing government. Nobody had predicted that. And yet they did it with integrity. Now, surely we should be setting the standards. So I would hope that this body, and thanks to the objection of my friend from California, this debate, which has started today, will continue. Thank you, Mr. President.
Ms. President.
The distinguished leader.
I spoke on a procedure.
That's Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton from New York last Thursday at the debate in contention of the electors from Ohio. Coming up, Senator Barack Obama in his first time speaking in front of the Senate. WZRD Chicago.